Welcome to the Steady Hand Podcast. I'm Scott Ronalds, joined today with Jay Menning, a senior member of the fixed income team at Connor Clark & Lund that manages our savings and income funds. Welcome, Jay.
Thanks, Scott.
In today's session, we're going to provide an update on the bond market and the income fund in particular. Now, Jay, the negative news in the stock market has been front and center over the last few weeks, with financial stocks once again stealing the headlines. Can you provide a brief overview of how the bond market has fared through all of this and how it's performed so far this year?
Sure. Well, Scott, there are really two markets when talking about the bond market: government bonds and corporate bonds, otherwise known as credit. And so far this year, with the economic picture looking increasingly cloudy, government bonds have enjoyed better returns and are up 2.5% year to date. And on the corporate bond side, they are also up, but to a far lesser degree, returning about 1.6% year to date. Now, this discrepancy of 0.9% between government and corporate bonds may not seem large to equity investors, but in the fixed income world, this is actually pretty much unprecedented. You mentioned financial stocks being in the headlines. Well, financial bonds, for example, the Canadian banks, have moved in sympathy with financial stocks and have underperformed, generally speaking.
The income fund has a high conviction bet in the corporate bond sector, with roughly 50% of its total assets in corporates. In hindsight, you've been a little early on this call, as government bonds have been the place to be over the past year because of their lower perceived risk, as you just explained. Can you expand a little on the value you're seeing in the corporate sector, particularly among some of the financials like TD and CIBC?
Yeah, to add some perspective, the yields on bank paper used to be 30 basis points higher than government bonds in the middle of last year. In other words, you were paid about 0.3% to compensate you for the extra credit risk inherent in bank bonds. Today, that spread has moved from 30 basis points to 230 basis points. And we see this as representing tremendous value. There have no doubt been some bad things happening in the financial world. However, Canadian banks and some of the other large, well-capitalized global financials are in a very good position to weather the storm. And in fact, when the economy turns, they will enjoy a less competitive environment, as many of their lesser peers are no longer around or have been downsized.
You mentioned that spreads are pretty wide right now. How does the situation today compare to previous periods where they were as wide as they are now?
Well, the short answer, Scott, is we've seen very few periods where spreads are so attractive. You'd have to go back to the early 90s, and even then, large, well-capitalized financials were not this wide in spread terms.
In our conversation a few weeks back when we were reviewing the second quarter, you mentioned that you're starting to watch the high-yield sector a little closer. What's your team's strategy here as it relates to the income fund, and are you starting to see a lot of opportunity emerge?
Our strategy in high-yield generally is to be very selective. The high-yield market as a whole is yielding over 10% now. However, as attractive as that sounds, we are not going to go out and quote-unquote buy the market. Our strategy aims at uncovering value opportunities, hidden gems that have suffered from indiscriminate selling. And yes, we are seeing a lot more of these opportunities. And it's worth noting, we generally do target stronger high-yield names, single B and double B rated entities as opposed to triple C.
In our second quarter report, we mentioned that your team feels the yield curve is set to steepen, and you're acting on a strategy to take advantage of this. You explained this pretty well to me in our conversation last month. Can you maybe rehash your explanation to our listeners?
Sure. But keep in mind, this is the type of stuff that bond managers get really excited about while others often glaze over, so bear with me a bit here. Short bonds, in other words, those maturing in around 2 to 3 years from now, are generally influenced by what the Bank of Canada or by what the Federal Reserve are doing. And given our view that economic growth could stall out a bit, and therefore rate cuts could continue, we foresee yields on short and midterm bonds tightening in. Long bonds, on the other hand, are more influenced by inflation. If you're holding a 30-year bond, you want comfort that inflation will not eat into your return too much. Our view here is long yields are at risk of rising due to inflationary pressures. So short yields lower, long yields higher is what we call yield curve steepening.
I'm jumping out of my seat with excitement, Jay. About a quarter of the fund is invested in income trusts and REITs. You presently favor business and utility trusts over REITs. What's your team's thinking here?
Our reduction in our REIT holdings was more name specific. We took advantage of temporarily higher valuations to get off a few of the names that we were less excited about. As for the other sectors, we're nervous about anything that's overly cyclical, and we don't have much exposure to consumer-oriented trusts. We favor utility and infrastructure-type names, which generally provide for more stable income streams.
Jay, can you maybe provide us an example of one of those infrastructure utility names?
Sure. A name that we've added recently is Armtec, and it's a name that will benefit from the higher and quite predictably higher spending on infrastructure, generally speaking.
Well, thanks, Jay. I don't want to take too much of your time, so let's sign off there. Can you maybe leave us with a closing comment on the outlook for the income fund?
Absolutely. I would characterize the current environment as both challenging and full of opportunity for fundamental investors. That is, those investors that focus less on headlines or market momentum and more on valuations and fundamentals. The main reason it has been challenging is that market participants are extremely nervous and risk-averse today. Therefore, it's hard to predict how they're going to react. They've been burned by the credit crunch and have a distaste for anything financial. However, the opportunities that surface as a result are extremely compelling. Over the long run, valuations always catch up to fundamentals, and at some point, investors will no longer demand 2.3% above governments for AA rated banks like TD or CIBC. That means corporates will outperform government bonds, and your fund is set up to perform well in this environment.
Well, thanks again, Jay, and thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. You can find our library of podcasts on the blog page of steadyhand.com. And as usual, if you have any questions on anything you just heard, feel free to email us at info@steadyhand.com or give us a shout at 1-888-888-3147.